Good evening. I will call the order the May 16, 2022, the City of Kirkland Design Review Board meeting, and we will begin with a roll call.
Randall Brand.
Present.
Brett Brown.
Here.
Carlos Castaneda.
Present.
King Chen.
Here.
Shoshana Cohen.
Here.
Tyler Smith. And Amy Tars.
Thank you, Jenny. The agenda for tonight is the second conceptual design conference for their apartment project. We do have minutes to approve. We have the previous four meetings minutes to approve. Would anyone like to move to approve the meeting? Moments.
I move that we approve the meetings as they are.
Does anyone second?
I second.
Okay. Then I can see these minutes as approved. Moving forward. I don't think we have unfinished business from previous meetings. Are there any members of the audience that would like to speak about any item that is not on the agenda tonight? Do we have any public members? I don't see any. So I guess we will move forward.
Actually, really quick. Shoshana, I noticed that Tyler is in the attendees list. So I was wondering if Shay can promote him to panelist, please. Thank you.
Please.
Thank you, Shoshana. He's in there now.
Thanks, everyone.
Yep.
Hey, good evening, Tyler. So, with no further ado, I will turn to Tony for a staff presentation.
Tony, I think you're on mute.
I apologize. There we go. I know Ting, Amy, and Tyler were not at the last meeting, so I thought I would do a brief overview of the project, and then, like I did last time, and then we can get into the applicant's response from the last meeting. So
Tony, yeah, I was sure. At the last meeting.
Oh, were you? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. We missed you on the minutes. I would look at the minutes, so I apologize about that. So, okay. So this is the Ardea Totem Lake project. So again, this is the site. It is located at the corner of 116th and 128th, the 128th Street overpass and direct access ramp to 405 is located to the north. 116th obviously is to the west, to the east is 405, and to the south is basically this large portion down here is wetland area, and then you get into the commercial areas of that of the near the project. Also to the west is we've got some multifamily, a senior housing project, Aegis Lodge at Totem Lake. Also, we have a medical office building. To the northwest is the County Trace condo buildings. And to the south, again, is developed as a fast food restaurant. The applicant is proposing to construct a seven-story residential project with approximately 165 affordable senior residential units. Parking is proposed within a small surface lot and then structured parking below the building. Vehicle access to the property is from 116th Avenue Northeast. The applicant has provided a program description and general project information. And also at the previous meeting had provided three masking options. And we're here to discuss based on the comments the design review board had, the applicants come back with a new masking proposal. Some of the key zoning regulations that apply, it allows the proposed stack dwelling unit uses. There is a requirement currently for the project to have ground floor retail. However, the applicant is not proposing that at this time. The city is considering a interpretation or code amendment that would eliminate the ground floor retail requirement for housing projects. For affordable housing projects. This was done in another area. And so the city is looking at either amendment or a interpretation to eliminate this requirement. The height is a maximum of 75 feet above average building elevation. They can have parapets. They can see the height limit by a max of 4 feet and an average of 2 feet. The only setbacks for the site are 10 feet from the west 116th property line. They have open.
Tony.
Sorry. Yes.
If you know where that other exception is, mm-hmm. where they did not have retail space for yes. affordable housing, do you know where that is?
That is the. It's actually. It's kind of two projects. It's the Francis Village site on 124th. So it's actually the same, a similar zoning, but it's Francis Village. It was developed by Imagine Housing, and then I can't remember the second phase of that project. So those were the two projects where we didn't require ground floor retail for affordable housing projects. So.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. Open space requirements, they are required to have a 1,500 to 2,000 square feet with a minimum dimension of 15 feet. Staff will look at this with the design response conference application and make sure they complied with that. However, we would like the board to look at the design of that and how that space interacts with the fronting property and the sidewalk near the property. Parking is based on a demand study, so there is no set established rate, and they are required to provide 10% affordable housing. However, this project is providing 100% affordable. As far as design guidelines, we're going to review this for consistency with design guidelines for the Totem Lake neighborhood. Some of the things we're going to want to look at within those design guidelines are building location and orientation, public improvements, including sidewalks and street trees, any pedestrian connections, lighting, and amenities, treatment of any blank walls that will be occurring with the project. Again, I mentioned the residential open space and design of that area, parking lots and the vehicle circulation and how that works, architectural style and scale, human scale, building details and materials, any signs that the applicant is proposing, and visual quality of landscapes. So as far as site context is concerned, this was discussed a lot at the last meeting, just because of the proximity where the site is, what's around the site. So that's a kind of important thing to just consider. I won't go into the details on that, but obviously this is something that we want to look at as far as what's around the site, how this project relates to the neighboring properties and neighboring developments that are around it. Some of the things we want to look at tonight, obviously the first one is what are some of the key public views of the project. Also look at identifying any appropriate mitigation techniques for building massing on the buildings. That was obviously discussed a lot at the last time we met. So that's what the applicant's going to really look at tonight with their revisions. How does the proposed massing and location of the structure relate to the pedestrian environment? What are some opportunities for pedestrian spaces? What are the key connections for pedestrians? How would the project engage pedestrians as they come and leave the site? And what are opportunities for landscaping and open space on the property? Again, from the April 18th meeting, so the applicant again provided a project description and three building massing options. The board looked at those and requested the applicant submit a revised design concept for their consideration. They kind of looked at the two massing options of 1 and 2 and kind of really wanted the applicant to look at kind of, you know, blending those together and really looking at adding modulation along the building's west facade to help break up that facade kind of address the long straight facade that was there. The board concluded that the building needed this additional modulation and requested the applicant come back with this revised concept. The applicant has submitted a revised concept that was included in the packet, and obviously they'll be presenting that to you tonight, and we want you to take a look at that and provide comments. So again, the action items for tonight is to provide guidance on the applicant's revised massing option. And finally, if you agree with that massing option that they should proceed forward to the design response conference, then we'll want you to outline what application materials you want to see with that DRC application. So with that concludes my presentation.
Thank you, Tony. I have one question. Oh, sorry. Does any one of the board member have questions first to Tony?
I have several.
Okay.
Go ahead, Amy.
I see on the plans that there is a 100-foot buffer for the type 3 wetland.
Mm-hmm.
Is the applicant required to mitigate and provide plantings or, you know, some improvements on that 100-foot buffer?
Yeah, as part of the project, so basically what will occur is they're going to have a retaining wall that kind of separates the buildable area from the wetland buffer and wetlands. And basically south of that wall, they're going to have to replant that entire area with native, and they'll have a 5-year monitoring and maintenance to make sure that those plants get established and that kind of thing. So there's a plan that was already submitted and reviewed by staff and approved for that.
So I don't know about Kirkland's requirements, mm-hmm. but do you allow boardwalks or some kind of trail mm-hmm. in the outer 50 feet of that buffer?
We sometimes, I can't remember the specifics. I think it maybe is like the outer one quarter now. I can't remember the specifics. In this case, I think really the topography becomes a real big issue on this one, it doesn't really, and then obviously you've got, you know, 405, it's to the east of the site. So there's not a real, I guess, real potential connection there. They do have an existing kind of boardwalk that's really the sidewalk that runs along 116th there. But yeah, I think really the topography creates kind of a real, you know, issue with trying to get any kind of access down there. So I think it's really going to be just a preserved area.
Okay. So can you also explain on the design guidelines,
mm-hmm.
there's a designation of circulator mm-hmm. for 128th and 116th. Does the city actually have any specific idea what that? I know there's an image that mm-hmm. showed what that could look like with the median. But for this site, how is that supposed to be implemented?
That's a good question. We'll be looking at that. I know that the applicant has been working with Public Works Department on figuring out the right-of-way improvements and how those are all going to work. That's something that we'll have kind of ironed out before the design response conference application is submitted. And that's something that we'll look at as part of that, and any design of that street will be incorporated into that application.
Okay. And then as far as the open space requirement mm-hmm. of 1500 to 2000 square feet,
mm-hmm.
Do you have any, and maybe the applicant can answer this, but what's shown is that terrace or plaza, I'm mm-hmm. not really sure how they call it, Have staff confirm the size of that area? Like, do we have any idea how, whether it's bigger than 1500 or, mm-hmm. you know, or smaller? I just wanted to.
Yeah, that will be something again that that will be as part of the design response application. We'll ask the applicant outline kind of what the area that's meeting that requirement, and then we'll be able to do a better analysis of to make sure that that is compliant with the code requirements.
Okay. All right. That's all I have for now.
Okay. Great.
Thank you, Amy. Does anyone else have a question?
I have a question.
Yes,
I want a little clarification. So this is the second conceptual design meeting, right? It's not a design response meeting.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. This is this is to basically kind of, instead of last time, you know, instead of trying to work through, you know, they had two options that the board kind of wanted to merge together. Instead of trying to work through that at the last meeting, the board asked the applicant bring the design back for their consideration to then move forward to design response.
I see. How many units are included here? Are they all this affordable housing units? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's 100. Yeah. I believe the current number is 165 senior affordable housing units.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Anyone else with a question? If not, I will ask. I just have a small question, and I'm sorry if it was answered the last time. But can you please explain again, what is the benefit of losing the retail floor?
Mm-hmm. The biggest thing in this case is kind of the transition that's occurring from, if you go out to the site, basically there's really no commercial around the site at all. And the nearest commercial is about 200 feet to the south. You know, and it's basically the bottom of the hill, and then that 116th starts sloping up pretty good to 128th. So this is kind of a transition area. It was zoned for this same as that commercial area. I think maybe this was kind of an oversight, because this is really not a really a very good pedestrian oriented area, I mean, as far as for commercial is concerned. So that was kind of the thought of staff when we looked at this. We did this similar to on the Slater mixed use project, where we didn't require any commercial along Slater Avenue there. It was very similar situation, because you know it really gets into that transition area where you're going into office and multifamily. So ground floor commercial doesn't make a whole lot of sense from a design perspective and from a market perspective.
So are there any guidelines about the makeup for the loss of this retail, or any ideas how to mm-hmm. encourage pedestrian connection if we lose that retail space?
Well, I think we would look at, we have the design guidelines to look at the ground floor, the design of the ground floor and how that relates. As far as obviously we wouldn't have, in this case, wouldn't have the retail portion, but I think there's enough design guidelines in there to talk about the design of that ground floor. And I think the applicant also is kind of intending for this to kind of have a commercial look, while not actually being commercial. But I can let the applicant speak a little bit more about that.
Then please let's hear from the applicant.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Thank you, board members. And appreciate the opportunity to come back with a more focused design or more focused massing study based on the direction that you gave at our last meeting. Before I get into that, I just wanted to make a couple comments about the commercial space. I was involved with the other projects that Tony mentioned when I was with Imagine Housing. There's two projects that are on 124th. There's the Francis Village project, and then there's the Athene Senior Housing project. And the primary reason that you know, we sought to eliminate the commercial requirement is those sites are really tight. You know, they're very, very tight sites, and we're trying to maximize the units on the property. And, you know, there's such a huge demand for affordable units in the region. And, you know, having the number of units be compromised by retail space was, you know, it's kind of counterproductive to the effort in the region to get as many affordable housing units online as quickly as possible. This location, you know, is very removed from the commercial areas that are to the south and to the east. I live in Newcastle, and there was an apartment building that was built about 5 years ago in downtown Newcastle. And the city required that the apartment building have a commercial area at the ground floor, but the apartment building is somewhat remote from the commercial area of Newcastle. And after 5 years, that retail space has yet to be leased. It's just sit, has just sat vacant for 5 years because it's in a very poor location. And I sense that the, you know, the site that we're looking at now, because of its location, it would be difficult, almost impossible to lease it up with retail space at the ground floor. So I just wanted to make those comments about the retail space and kind of the history of the Imagine Housing projects and why retail was not included. So we've come back with a modulation or building massing solution that really focuses on breaking up that long building, you know, and we spent a lot of time, you know, trying to figure out how to keep as many affordable housing units in the building and break up the massing of the building. Fortunately, we found a way to do it where we're not losing any units, so the unit count hasn't dropped at all. And we've taken what you're going to see in our presentation and in the massing model, we've taken it a step further. We started introducing not necessarily colors, but contrast between colors. So what we're showing is not intended to be a color suggestion. We're just trying to show the difference between the massing and highlighting it with contrasting colors. So I hope that it's not being interpreted as actual representation of the colors that we're proposing. And we've also taken some of the massing and broken it down into even more detail. I think detail that would normally be brought to the design response conference, but the intent is just to show the direction that we have been thinking with the building and you know, show that we're committed to a design solution that is consistent with, you know, other parts of Totem Lake that has been recently developed. So with that, I will hand it off to James, and he will present the modifications that we've made since our last meeting.
Thanks, Alan. Let me share my screen for everybody here. So I'm going to go ahead and present the addendum that we provided. I think that we all kind of came to some similar conclusions on our first presentation that the big key factors that some of the members had concern with was just the overall massing, the blank walls, the articulation, certainly the pedestrian and street frontage presence, and as Alan suggested, we really kind of went back to the drawing board with how we were envisioning the building footprint and took a whole nother pass at what can we do, given the very difficult site constraints, to make this really read as a well-modulated building, both at the large kind of architectural scale as well as more of a pedestrian or human scale from the street front of the adjacent roads. So this first plan is not a whole lot different from what you saw before, but I think it's interesting because you can start to see how we've really started to push and pull the building a little bit to translate to some articulation along the perimeter, along both the frontage to the interstate as well as certainly along 116th. So it's kind of an interesting contrast from where we started. If you remember, this was just a straight wall the entire length of the building. Our only massing or modulation features were really heavily emphasized at the corner. So here's a bird's eye view of that corner now. You can see that we've pulled out the building about 8 feet, which on this very narrow site was a challenge, but we managed to make this work while maintaining our affordable unit count. So we're providing some major transition in that. The other thing that we're trying to do in this exhibit, now Alan mentioned that we're not trying to dictate color yet or material that, you know, we feel that that's something that we're certainly going to be developing for the design response. But we did want to show that there are more ways to kind of break up a building's massing than just with pulling or pushing, you know, a chunk of the building in or out. We're really looking at a kind of a combination of materials, colors, and building extrusions to try and really emphasize the modulation on this building and make it feel like it's more multiple components of a, you know, rather than one large mass, it's kind of multiple smaller buildings kind of entwined together. So we're like I said, we're really relying on some of these secondary elements that we'd normally get into in that design response to kind of get emphasize the actual physical massing of the building. Got a couple more views. This first one I thought was interesting. It's very similar to a view we provided previously, but what I like about it is it's a little hard to read at this scale, and we've got a blow up next to it, but it starts to show how the building articulation works with some of the adjacent recent development on the other side of 405. So I felt it was nice that it kind of put it in context of some of the you know, the adjacent comparable development that's going on. Here's a bit of a more of a close-up view from the freeway. You can start to see that we're pulling several bays out of the building to bring some relief to the long facades. We're also pushing in the building back here and using some darker colors. The thought behind that is that by providing a recess and using some darker colors and making that kind of recessed portion of the building appear to fade away a little bit, we're trying to emphasize that you know, there's a break in the structure and that this reads more as two structures or a conglomeration of smaller buildings kind of worked together than a single long linear structure. We're also doing some interesting things at the corner that overlooks the wetland area. This was squared off previously, and we made a decision for a couple of reasons. One, there was definitely a desire on the part of the board for some more interesting geometry and articulation to the building, but we also thought that we're wasting some really nice views of an undeveloped wetland area. So we reoriented the units on that end of the building at a 45-degree angle, and it's actually cantilevered a little bit above the first two floors. So it really kind of pops out from the corner of the building at 45 degrees. And I think it just adds a nice touch and a little bit of a break from the otherwise rectangular geometry that we so often see. And it's going to create a really wonderful environment for the residents in those end units as well, I think. We're adopting some of the elements we have seen in other projects that we've liked around the Totem Lake area, and you can see that in how some of these parapet designs are working. We've noticed this in a number of projects, and so to kind of help further break up the building articulation kind of at a more intimate scale, you know, if this was just a straight pop out of 2 feet and it just went up to a parapet, you know, it would read just like every other bay window. What we're proposing here is we've kind of created this fin element, and I'm sure anybody who's looked through on the other side of the freeway at some of the recent development there, you've probably seen similar elements, and then we're carrying that across. So we're actually getting kind of an extra layer of detail out of our pop out base here. So we're kind of already starting to think about that second and third layer of modulation. You can also see that with some of what we're proposing with some window shades. Because at the end of the day, it's certainly the building massing is one thing, but there's also that architectural and human scale. And we felt very strongly that those start to really tell the whole story. So we might have gotten a little bit ahead of ourselves here, but we really wanted to kind of show you the direction we're going and that we're thinking beyond just pushing and pulling the building a few feet in the different locations to try and really make this work and fit right for the community. Here's a shot from the main corner. You can start to see the public entrance as it wraps around its street front. That road continues to slope up past our property access, our pedestrian access. So it's maybe not a great view for showing the frontage, and I can show a much better view from the 116th itself. And this is still a work in progress. We're starting to think about how to break up our elevator and stair tower, how to get some light into the elevator lobby. Certainly a work in progress, but I think it's coming a long way and starting to work with the rest of the architecture. I think before it kind of felt like a standalone entity. Here's another good view of it from the other side where we're showing some possible ways to break up the facade and introduce windows and light to what otherwise is, a service stair kind of tower area. We didn't update the sun studies. They're not going to change materially from what we saw previously. On the site plan, a lot of this will look very familiar. We've still got our residential courtyard and the same location. There is going to be a connection to the sidewalk here. It looks like it got overlooked in our final draft, but there will certainly be a connection there. I did some quick calcs on this, and it's just over 2,000 square feet. I think I was getting 2,150. And I haven't looked yet as to whether or not any of the other spaces qualify. We've also got the ability, I think, if we want to pull this retaining wall out, which we might consider doing anyway, because we've removed one of the parking stalls down here to get the building modulation to work. And pulling that retaining wall out might have a couple other benefits to it. And in doing that, I think it might allow us a little more flexibility in space at the residential patio area. We are starting to think a little bit about this. We're not going to just drop a giant 2,000 square foot trapezoidal shaped patio. We're definitely going to be integrating landscaping and planters. So what you're seeing right here is a little bit of a placeholder. We're just kind of trying to show the extent of the area that we have to work with to provide amenity space. You have to go up on the floor above. Let me see. I'm going to hop up to the third floor here so you can start to see and plan what we're doing to break this building up. We've got an 8-foot shift, as I mentioned, that carries throughout the front or the center of the building, both back and front. We've got a couple bays that are popping out. It's only about a 2-foot pop out, but the other thing to keep in mind is that, as I was showing in some of these renderings, we're already thinking about how to make a 2-foot pop out, something that's a little bit more dramatic and reads much more clearly as a distinct modulating element in the building. So don't be fooled by the fact that it's only a 2 feet in plan here. I think we're getting a lot more effect out of it than the 2-foot would lead you to believe. Aside from the changes to the footprint of the building and the modulation, not a whole lot of change in plan. The parking is more or less the same. We lost one exterior stall that I don't think is going to be a problem. We've got 39 stalls here. There is no parking requirement per se, given that we're in the transit zone. So I think that that's a discretionary the parking account is a discretionary amount that has to do with what we really need for the building use and visitors. So I'm not too worried about the loss of a stall. I know there was a question in our last conversation about the accessibility and van stall. We're not showing it yet, but I've been working with Alan and our team internally to come up with a way to get a van clearance in that parking garage. And I think we've got a plan to do that. So I will likely be moving this van stall interior to the building and closer to the elevators. This is the level above the garage. Aside from the modulation changes, the other thing I really wanted to point out was that in response to some of the comments about really making this exterior resident area feel more inviting and open to the street and the community, we've actually pulled the community space out as far as we could to allow for more glazing along that wall. And I'll show you a render of that in just a minute. The other thing that we did is we wanted some better connectivity between the main lobby, which is on the floor above, and the community space down at the level one here. And the site is pretty tight. So we talked briefly about doing that on the exterior. And it seemed redundant. The sidewalk already does that. And there's not a lot of space to introduce a stair. It would have, I think, really just gotten very busy and disruptive. So what we've done here is we're creating an open stairway between floor one and floor two. So you're gonna get light, you're gonna get sound, you're gonna see activity from the entry level at floor two down at the floor one below. So we've done that to help encourage the use of the space and to help people see the activity that's going on, to give them an extra reason to go down and talk with a friend, meet with somebody, see somebody outside that they want to go visit with. So we are really trying to respond to that comment about the connectivity between the two levels. We're choosing to do it within the interior of the building. Not a whole lot has changed other than the shifts in the building on the main entry level, which is level two. I mentioned we're introducing a stair that's open to below. We have made some adjustments in addition to the modulation, but they're pretty minor. We've added a second elevator and adjusted the stairwell and how the building interacts with the stairwell. And managed to get some natural daylight at both ends of the elevator lobby on the floors above. So again, the big story here is that we're breaking the building up. Not a whole lot has changed beyond that. We've got the same number of units. We're just making some shifts in the building to really help it break up the mass and read on the exterior and the elevations a little bit better. We are getting a little bit more into some interesting elements on the corners of the building, as I showed you in some of the earlier renderings that I think also helped emphasize that, particularly given that people are always going to be approaching from the north or the south. So That's what you're going to see from far off as you approach the building. And I think breaking up the geometry there does a good job at kind of staying away from a blank facade with a squared off end of a building here. So we're really trying to think about the approach views. We've got some elevations with some shadow lines just to kind of help convey both the steps in the building, as well as, these are not supposed to be read as color selections by any stretch. They do show a little bit about our thinking about what elements of the siding might be a darker material to kind of fade back, and which elements might be a mid-range or a lighter to kind of make them stand out and read toward the front of the building. There's also kind of a secondary, or I'd say a third level of modulation that we're not showing yet. You know, that a lot of this material is ultimately going to be a panelized system, and there's going to be joint and break lines that'll help this read a little bit better and a little bit more detail when we move into the next phase of the design response.
James, before you leave this exhibit, the intent of this also was to show the different. Oh, what happened?
Sorry, I had a little bit of a blue beam crash. I'll pull it right back up.
Let me you might have to stop sharing and reshare.
Well, the problem is I appear to have lost the K drive and blue beam. So let me. Can you see this 3D model here?
Yeah. So to elaborate on that one elevation, the intent also was to show the different levels of grades along the west side of the building between the street and the building, because we have an entry level, which is basically at the second level of the building, and then it drops down to the first level, residential level of the building, which is where the residential patio is.
Yeah, that's correct. And I can pull that image back up now. Give me just a second. Sorry about that.
Because there were some questions last week of the relationship of the levels along 116th Street. And this image was basically to show how the site terraces as 116th Street slopes, it slopes up from the south towards the north.
Yeah, I mean, as everyone can see here, we've got just across the length of the building, we've got three floors of drop here, one of which we're managing with the retaining wall to the south. But we've got two floors of elevation change just along the street frontage of our building length. So that's a good point, Alan. This really does illustrate that. And the slope continues on as you pass our property line and get into the right of way for 128th.
And then also, Amy had a question about potentially having access to the wetland buffer on the south side. So here shows this, that shows the retaining wall and the building level is roughly, I think, around 13 or 14 feet above the wetland buffer. So getting down to the wetland buffer would be a real challenge. We would have to add stairs that would actually, we would need to have them go into the wetland buffer, because we don't have any room outside of the buffer to get down to the buffer level.
Yeah, and if in a different setting, that might be something nice. And we have done that in another project, and there's a lot of interesting things to what you can and can't do in a wetland buffer. And we have built a boardwalk in one before on a project. But in this scenario, abutting 405, and then on the 116th side, there's a really tall embankment. So you'd almost be in a bathtub down there. So it doesn't seem like an ideal location in this particular instance to really try and do that. And certainly it would be a challenge. My understanding is that most wetland buffers, you can't pour a footing. You have to do a precast pin footing. And I don't know if it's even possible to get something that would work with the scale of a stair that we would need. Here's the 405 side. Again, when you look at this in 3D, you can start to see how these parapet and fin elements really add a whole nother layer of depth to the elevations. You can also start to see how this central core area of the building's recess starts to fade a little bit into the background. A quick snapshot from the, I think it's 120, is it 128th? And from the wetlands area, looking up at the building. And then not part of our formal package, but if it's okay, I'd like to share a couple views of our 3D model, just because we can pan around and kind of see how things look from a few different angles. It might answer a couple questions.
Please go ahead.
Okay, so I thought this was a nice view because it starts to really show how, and again, we're going to get a connection in there. It's a little tricky, and we want to get our final survey information because there's obviously a fair amount of cross slope, and we don't know exactly where we're going to hit the sidewalk yet. But I thought this was a nice image to show how we're envisioning opening this space to the courtyard and to the public sidewalk. And you can start to see a glimpse of the stairwell that's open to the floor above and the frontage and the floor above. So, you know, it's not a commercial space, but we want it to feel and read like a public and inviting space. So we really have made some changes here that we think really makes this a more active space and makes it more likely that people are going to congregate there, and that there's going to be more activity between floors 1 and 2. As we get down to the lower level, this is primarily fire truck turnaround and loading in here. We've got probably two stalls at the end of the day. We're starting to think about some details on how to address some of the openings to the parking garage. We're not showing anything yet, but we're thinking about some decorative panels that we could use there that are that'll let air in, but you know, not just a generic grill. We're thinking about something that might be a little bit architectural and decorative in nature. And we're probably going to, my goal here is to extend the berm a little bit to reduce some of the massing on this corner. And certainly the landscaping is going to start to do that as well. So that this whole frontage here will be a little bit masked with landscaping. But, you know, we feel like we're providing a commercial-like frontage along most of the building. It just happens to step in 3 different levels. So we're trying to get as close to the intent of the code as we can, with, you know, recognizing that it's not practical or desirable for a number of reasons to actually put retail in this space. Just wanted to kind of show you what we've done in the corner of the building a little bit. Let me see if I can rotate it just a little bit. Yep, a little too much.
Hey, James, highlight something first before you rotate it.
Oh, okay, got it. So you can see that, as I mentioned before, we've broken up the geometry to a 45-degree angle so that these units are all looking out on the wetland, which is going to, I think, be a really nice view. It also gives us an opportunity to do something really distinct and unique with the building by creating this pop-out element that's, you know, both at a 45-degree and it's cantilevered from the floors above. And so I think it adds a real nice touch and a nice break in the massing of the building. I think it also reads pretty effectively as you, that didn't work either, Todd. I think it also reads pretty effectively from the 405 side, as you see that. So I could pan around the whole building, or certainly I can hand it over to any questions. I guess before I do, Alan, is there anything else you wanted to add on our end?
Can you go into more detail about the front entry and the entrance patio and the transition from the sidewalk to the lobby entrance?
Okay, so at the very north corner of the building is where our sidewalk hits our entry patio. As you can see, the sidewalk starts to slope down sharply. Our intent is during the design response that we're going to do a couple things along here, introduce a secondary path of access with some steps and probably integrate some planter elements in here to help break this up. We're certainly not envisioning just having a blank retaining wall there. A similar comment at this location, although it's going to be a little bit different, we're going to look at staggering some planter boxes so that you're not just looking at a blank wall. But that's the kind of detail that we really don't want to dive too far into until we have confidence that the board is comfortable with the general direction, because if we start modeling that up and we're still not ready to move forward for a more developed and final consideration, it would be a lot of work to redo. So as you come off the sidewalk, whether it's the stairs or the at grade access, you enter the main lobby. That's going to take you, that's going to take you into the leasing office, the mail room, and then the staircase that's open to below. So this is all open. You're going to effectively get daylight from both floors coming into this space, which I think is going to be nice. Now, we haven't really programmed the balcony yet, as far as furnishings, plantings. But one thing that we have done is we've extended the floor below out, and then extended the railing out so that people who are coming in or who are leaving the building at this level have visual access, and vice versa to the primary amenity courtyard below. So they could see friends they want to see. They could see activities going on there. We've provided an interior connection point to really really emphasize the connectivity of the two spaces. That, along with kind of the floor to ceiling glass that we're opening into that connected level one and level two, I think are really going to help. Alan, is there anything else specific that I'm missing that you wanted to point out related to the entry?
I think you covered it. I'm ready to hear comments from the board members.
Okay, thank you, Alan and James, for your detailed presentation. We will move forward to the board members' questions. Just a quick reminder, please, let's try to stick to the topics that are for discussion today. Who would like to go first? Randall, you look very thoughtful. Would you like to go first?
Well, I'm trying to think of something thoughtful to say. I like very much what they've done. Alan, James, your team heard us last time, and you've got a very difficult site. When you look at the way that site steps down, and it steps down, what, 3 full floors, or if not 4 when you really take getting down into the wetlands area, and you're taking an extremely difficult, in some cases almost unusable site, and making it a very productive site. So and that. So I like what you've done and that. And so I'll just leave it at that for other board members with questions, because I think it's, you know, I think you've got a lot to work with here for your textures, finishes, and that type of thing.
Thank you, Randall. Carlos, would you like to go next?
Yes. Thank you, Shoshana. So James, just looking at the model, I was noticing the corner treatment where you have the vertical circulation. I'm just wondering, what's the height of that element, the maximum height, including the sloped roof?
I guess that's a difficult question to answer, because are we looking for a height above grade plane or adjacent grade?
I guess that my question is, I'm just like noticing that obviously that's the tallest element of this building. So I'm just wondering if that's within compliance with the allowed or the required maximum heights.
We're required by code to bring one of the two stairwells physically up to the roof level. I have not dug specifically into that particular issue, but I have not come across a jurisdiction that doesn't allow a building code required stairwell extension.
Okay. And I know that this is very ahead of the game, but just I feel that that element is going to have a lot of weight on the next meetings. So I'm just wondering if you have any initial thoughts in regard to type of materials that you guys will be using there.
Not yet. We were extremely focused on trying to really work out something that was going to, we thought was going to be a big improvement for the overall mass. That we didn't give a huge amount of attention to that corner, and that's not due to lack of intent. We certainly do want to dig a lot deeper into that, because it is kind of the biggest, boldest element on that corner, and we are going to need to do something interesting, I think, to break that up. We have not quite given that element the attention it needs yet. We started to hint at some things, and I could, if you want, I could bring up the share screen again and point out a couple things. Give me one second. So we have started to think about it a little bit, and we're providing some relief in the middle and between the stairs and the elevators to break it up a little bit and to get light into this elevator lobby space. You know, we're thinking a little bit about our reforms, but really this is going to have to evolve. We recognize that, and we're actually, I'm excited about looking closer at this element. Because it is probably the least defined portion of the building with respect to kind of where we ultimately need to go. Just kind of my gut reactions, I was thinking about some more commercial building materials maybe on this corner, something that reads a little bit stronger and bolder, and probably, you know, more residential mix of materials on in the rest of the building. What that is, we haven't really had a chance to propose something to Alan and discuss, but we definitely recognize that's an area that we want to continue to explore and improve upon.
All right. Thanks for your response. That's all that I have, Shoshana.
Thank you, Carlos. Now it's time for a female voice. Ting, please.
Thank you. I have a few questions. So are the rooftop accessible for the residents?
No, I don't know that it's practical in this case. We have an allowance for 4 feet technically for parapets, but if we took the elevators up there, it would add another 12 feet to the building right there at that tower element. It's the other complication is that we'd be required to have 2 points of egress, and so we'd have to develop it all the way to the other stairwell. I don't think it's practical in this scenario to do that. Where we have had a lot of success in doing roof decks is in stepped buildings in a lot of cases, or in scenarios where we're not under quite as much pressure on the height. We've had a little bit more flexibility to do something like build a club room up on the roof level. And we just don't have those opportunities here.
Yeah, I also just wanted to comment on that. We being right next to the building, or I'm sorry, the building being right next to the freeway, the freeway noise just would not make it a very pleasant space to be on the rooftop. So our intent was to take any community space element and focus it on the side of the building that faces away from the freeway, and hopefully using the building to shield the freeway noise from the open amenity space.
I see. I know you have to do a lot of things to achieve this cost efficiency for public funding for this affordable housing units. Have you considered some things like solar panels that might reduce the maintenance cost for the building?
Yeah, the funders, do actually require certain energy efficiency measures, and one of them is a certain level of solar panels to be placed on the roof, and we will be doing that.
So you mentioned the noise level, the noise from a freeway. On that elevation that's facing the freight 405, mm-hmm. there is some large glazing along that elevation.
Yeah,
are those windows operable?
Yeah, well, yes, they will be operable. However, when they're not open, they will have gasketing and they will be glazed to minimize the amount of noise transferring through the wall. So we will have an acoustician as part of the project to help guide us in having the decibel levels in the units to be at an acceptable level. But yes, I'm not sure what the code requires as far as operable windows, but I would assume that they would be.
I believe they are required in the R2 occupancy. Practically speaking, with the noise level and the view of 405, I don't know that many people are going to want to open their windows. Certainly those windows, the acoustical engineer is going to assist us with providing some appropriate specifications on the windows, as well as considering whether the walls themselves might need some acoustical mitigation on that side of the building.
I see. Right. I have another question about what's the distance from the sidewalk to that retaining wall you showed along 116th? I think you have to have the setbacks about 10 feet, right?
Yeah, that is a little bit in flux right now. We are still working with the city to try and find out where our property line is once we dedicate additional property for the frontage. And that line may have to shift a few feet. We just don't have the answer to that. And we're hoping, certainly by the time we come back with any design response, we would have that information. But right now, give or take about 3 or 4 feet, I can't tell you with certainty. Certainly we're gonna be sensitive to that. And we do have setback requirements. There are some options that give us a little bit of flexibility because we're tight there, and we're just kind of exploring what those are and whether or not we need those. But it's not something I can answer right now, other than to tell you right now it's showing within the 10 feet. But I don't know. That's I don't think that's where we're going to land.
I see. My last question is actually just a little comment. I know it's still early for the design, but I do see there are a couple of units that's real close to that community amenity patio with the windows open straight toward it at a grade level. It might be a privacy concern for, you know, the residents. You might want to do something to shade it off from the patio.
Yeah, we expect to provide landscaping to provide privacy screening. But not, but we don't want to block light, and we don't want to block the view either. You know, there's right. a good balance there.
Yeah. Well, those are my questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ting. Tyler, would you like to go next? If you're not yet, maybe Brad.
Yes, I actually don't have any questions. I think that the applicant's done a good job of responding to our last conference, and I think they've done a good job, and yeah, no questions at the moment.
My apologies, I was having a connection issue, but same here. I believe that the candidate did provide us a good synopsis and a good presentation, and so I have no further questions.
Appreciate it. And now words of wisdom from Amy.
I do have some questions. What are you envisioning for the community spaces? Like what kind of activities?
Are you asking about the outdoor space or indoor space?
The indoor space.
Yeah, those are, you know, they're residential community spaces, so they're not necessarily open for public use. And we will design them kind of as flex spaces for the residents to have different activities in the space. You know, they could have a catered meal in there and dine in there, or they could have a game night or TV night, or, you know, just... It's a flex space to have any type of activity that management and the services provider that would be partnering with us on the site, you know, to offer to the residents.
Okay. In your discussions with the city or city staff regarding your request to remove the retail requirement, was there any discussion about potentially having convertible spaces, you know, where you could, you know, because I know several projects in other cities where they actually, and I can think of two in Redmond where the ground floor is currently retail, but it can be easily converted to residential if there's no retail, you know, that eventually, let's say, give it 2 years or a year, you know, if no one, you know, no one takes it.
I mean, we could provide flexible space, and I assume that that space would actually be probably at the corner, at the level where the corner is of the building, the north end, because that's the easiest access to the building. Unfortunately, to provide that space, we would have to eliminate affordable units.
How many units do you think you'd have to eliminate for that one little retail?
Well, it depends on the size of the retail space. You know, if it's 2,000 square feet, you're talking 4 one-bedroom units.
Mm-hmm. This also gets into some logistical challenges. You know, if we've got a true commercial space there and we're carving it out for one or two very small, you know, retail spaces or something of that nature, we've got whole other access and loading issues. So I'm confident we can solve them. I like to think that if you work hard enough, you can solve anything, but I don't know that it would be a good fit for the project.
Mm-hmm. Okay. As far as the building materials, I know you kind of mentioned briefly about the use of commercial materials for the corner, but just in general, do you have any idea, or are you guys starting to talk about what materials you're going to use?
We have not talked a lot about that. Certainly for portions or large portions of the residential areas, you know, no, I'm not talking about the main entry or the facade along the public courtyard, but certainly along some of the residential areas, we're thinking of a mix of panel system, maybe interspersed with some hardy materials. I think in the corner of the building and the more public frontage, we probably want to look for something a little more commercial, but Alan and I haven't had a chance to really go into detail on what materials, you know, it might be appropriate within budget. That's something I'm anxious to talk with Alan about, but you know, it's not something until we're comfortable that we're going the right direction we really have dug into yet.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. In looking at the site plan, and I don't know if there's been any revision to it, but I'm looking at the sidewalk on 116th, and there's a section of the sidewalk that narrows down where the right before you get to the wetlands between the basically the driveway and the existing sidewalk to the south. Mm-hmm. Why is there a reduction in the size or the width of that sidewalk?
So in conversations with the city, we that sidewalk is actually designed as a cantilever. It hangs out over a retaining wall that's built down into the wetland. So it's a very interesting and very expensive cantilevered sidewalk. And speaking with the city, I don't know how much it cost the city to build that out, but the idea of reconstructing that entire edge of the road, we would be getting into more than just sidewalk. There's got to be structure under the road that's cantilevered out there. We would probably have to rip the wall out, the cantilever out, and half the road out, and spend millions of dollars just to get an extra foot or two of width in that sidewalk and keep it consistent.
I also wanted to say that, you know, the Public Works has told us that we will not need to make any modifications to the sidewalk south of basically where the wetland buffer is. So the transition, the tape, the narrowing that you see is the transition from the 8-foot sidewalk down to the, I think, 6-foot wide elevated walkway that runs along the road that runs over the wetland.
Okay. Let's see. I'm checking off my list of questions. For your garage, are you providing ventilation, and will that be visible anywhere in the, you know, to the public?
We will have to provide mechanical ventilation for exhaust. We'll probably passively intake the air through the security grill at the entrance and some of the architectural panels that we're going to provide along the frontage. But at the end of the day, we will need to exhaust. A lot of that's going to come down to our mechanical engineer sizing it. My guess is that we're probably looking at something in the neighborhood of 24 by 48. We haven't talked about whether or not we're taking that to the roof or we're going to take it out through a sidewall grill. If we did go through a sidewall grill, we'd do something that was architectural in nature and that worked with the geometry and the fenestration patterns. I suspect it's more likely we'll take it to the roof. And in those scenarios, you don't put necessarily have to put the fan at the top. We would probably, because of the height limitations, put the fan within the garage itself so that we could have a pretty short chimney that you wouldn't even see. We'd keep it under the 4 foot.
We don't plan on having any exterior fan equipment. So all fan equipment would be within the building perimeter.
Yeah, I just want to kind of prompt you to start thinking about that because there, you know, it's just, you know, a concern for me because I've seen other developers who almost like tack it on as an afterthought, and then it's not really complementary to creating a pedestrian-friendly environment. And then my last question. So last time we discussed how on 128, at the corner of 128 and 116, there's a whole bunch of utility boxes. Obviously, that's not your fault. But that kind of puts a constraint to your design. And just wanted to kind of pick your thoughts on in how you dealt with that in because you're still going to be required to create a pedestrian friendly edge to that. And so just wanted to, you know, see how, you know, what were your thoughts, and especially since you will be having more conversations with the city about how exactly this quote unquote circulator streetscape is going to look like. I would like to hear, you know, if you guys have any recommendations on how to improve that corner.
Well, we would certainly like to see it landscaped, or, you know, more enhanced landscaping. I don't know if that's in the city's budget to provide that, or if WashDOT, you know, has it in their budget. Because I believe that area is actually an easement that is controlled by WashDOT. And so I'm not sure what they could do to that area to enhance it. But we certainly would like to see it enhanced.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, I'll save my comments for the next round. But that's all I have for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy. Does anyone have follow-up questions? Do we have members of the audience that would like to speak? I don't see that we are. Are we ready to move to deliberation? I guess we are. Would someone like to start? Okay, so I will just go with the order of photos on my screen. Brad, you go first.
Sure. We had a lot of problems, I think, with breaking up the mass of this building in the last meeting. We all recognize it's a kind of a difficult site, and they were on the right track, you know, but weren't quite there yet. And so, and seeing the kind of the fruits of their labor in this second kind of conference, I think was time well spent. I'm a lot happier with how they've dealt with that mass and laying out the units to kind of get a new expression on the exterior envelope of the building. And I'm much happier with their new preferred option. So a lot of the other comments that I would have, you know, would have to be, you know, we've already heard some of the questions and comments about, oh, what about the material? You know, what about dealing with some of the, you know, traffic, pedestrian or otherwise, and ventilation, etc. All that stuff we typically deal with, you know, in later kind of design response conferences. And seeing how they heard the board from our last meeting, I feel confident that they can deal with a lot of that. One minor note I would say is they kind of have kind of their tiered landscape facing 116th kind of has like a courtyard there. I'd like to see some access to some stairs from that up to the sidewalk. It's a really long, steep walk, and giving some sort of a break for pedestrians or some potential way for pedestrians to access, you know, more quickly, kind of like mid-slope, the building, I think would be welcome beyond just kind of that southern entrance into the garage, you know, it's kind of the drive entrance. That's just a thought. I've got comments or concerns about how we break up the stair tower on the north end. It looks a little heavy, but again, you know, playing with color, playing with material, glazing patterns, and, you know, sizes and spacing of windows and all that. I think we can deal with a lot of that. You know, today's meeting's mostly about just kind of the overall massing and site placement of the building, and I'm happy with what they've achieved.
Thank you for speaking to the point. Randall, your turn.
Again, I agree with Brad from where we were last time to where we are now. A tremendous effort from the team. And thank you very much for doing that. And I think just looking forward to the design response conference as they look at the landscaping, anytime you get a terraced type site like this, you've actually got opportunities for the landscaping and opportunities for some nice things to happen and that type of thing. I'd just like to, you know, as a comment on the commercial or retail aspect of it, when you really look at this site and look at its location and that, there just really is not a lot of opportunity for retail at this particular location. So I would, it's not really in our purvey, but as the city staff works on that, I would say that, you know, that would be, the units would be much better utilized than a possible commercial or retail space. So that's basically all I have.
Thank you, Randall. Tyler?
Just to reiterate what my fellow colleagues have said, you know, I wasn't in the original meeting, so I wasn't able to see the full progression or from the original standpoint to the progression is now. But from what I have been able to see, I do think that this would be a significant point, an area. I mean, I feel the only thing that I would have any sort of question about, again, is to making it feel a bit more inviting in certain areas when it comes to, obviously, the material, to what they have set up as far as their courtyard. But overall, it seems like they have been able to develop a good sense of the space and the development.
Thank you, Tyler. Amy?
So before I make my comments, I just wanted to clarify. I just realized that I wasn't at the first meeting, but I did watch the meeting after I came back from my trip, and I was so jet lagged that in my imagination, I thought I was in the meeting. So sorry, Tony, for confusing you. I'm going to go through the staff memo section number 7, where provides a guidance to staff, or I'm sorry, to the DRB members on what things to look for this discussion. I'm just going to hit on the major ones. Under scale, where it talks, so the second point is identify appropriate mitigation techniques for building mass of the proposed buildings. I'd like to echo what the other member said, the DRB member said that, I think the applicant has really made great strides in creating a more pedestrian scale building. With the push and pull of the base, with the efforts to break down the massing further with the articulation. The one thing that I wanted to ask the applicant to look at, and I kind of noticed that they're, for the center section of the building, they're showing two different tones. And I'm assuming it's either suggestive of two different materials. If it's on the same plane, it's really not a good idea to have two separate materials, but I thought there is an opportunity to break down that massing even further. When you look at the patio and you see the building just kind of connect, I mean, like it's just a continuous building. Maybe treat that as a two-story element. So when you're at the patio level, it feels like you're, you know, again, you're at a you know, like more like a villagey kind of feel. So instead of doing the two separate, you know, the two separate materials with the way you're showing right now, make it more like a, maybe like a tripartite articulation, you know, horizontally with a base, middle, and top. And then with pedestrian access, some of the questions from staff, how does the proposed massing and location of structures relate and respond to the pedestrian environment? I think the applicant did a great job with the corner entry, expanding the, and then the patio and opening up that level with a two-story glass. I'm fine with the interior stairs, but I also agree with the idea of potentially adding on the sidewalk side where there's a blank wall. If you could do a more like stairs there or more like a terraced benches, that may be another way. And again, I'm using some of the I'm getting inspiration from some of the cities that I've been to where they have major grade changes. And it's really cute how they would put little benches and they're incorporated to the retaining wall. And then, yeah, so that will answer question number two also. And then the one, and in terms of the open space and landscaping, I think there may be some opportunities, even though, you know, I do appreciate the applicant's response about the wetland and how there's a big drop there and it may not be feasible to provide a physical connection down there, but maybe in looking at your site plan, on the southeast corner of your property, there's like a little space there that maybe you can incorporate benches so that you can have a lookout to the wetland. And if there's a way, you can even provide like a cantilevered area for a lookout. I'm just looking at more opportunities for your residents to connect to the wetland. And I think, it's great that you oriented some of the units towards, you know, on the upper floors to the wetland. And so you are definitely responding and taking some of these, taking advantage of some of the, you know, open space elements in your property. Let's see. Just making sure I got all. Okay, so this is a little bit more on the details. So as you continue to look at further breaking up the massing with articulation, I noticed that on the corner of 128 and 116, you provided windows with more of a playful mullion pattern. And if you, you know, if you could use that, again, you know, using a different mullion pattern for some, you know, for the, let's say the middle section of your building to further create a difference in character. And then, let's see. I think, just to also echo what Ting said, you may have to look at, I noticed that one of your residential units, I do commend the applicant for extending out the, I don't know if you want to call that the entry terrace for the lobby. But in doing so, I noticed that one of your residential units will be, will have its privacy compromised. So you may want to have to look at that and think of a better treatment for that, for the windows. So that's all I have.
Thank you, Amy. Tink?
I think it's really, it's really a challenging site, and I'm very impressed with this option you presented tonight. Messing-wise, I like your approach to break down those two long elevations. I'm looking forward to the design response meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Ting. Carlos?
Thanks, Shoshana. In general, I'm satisfied with the massing revisions that the applicant presented tonight. I think I agree with Brad that there will need to be a special treatment to the stair volume located on the north side of the building. And there's definitely some opportunities with the residential patio as well with the public open space. I think I can echo think regarding the privacy for the units that are facing the Gateway Plaza. I'm really interested to see how the applicant will address these elements or these items as we continue into the next conference for this project. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Carlos. So I could first of all compliment the applicant for, like the other board members, for listening to the feedback and really incorporating these comments with a very challenging site and a very challenging project of affordable housing. So you keep walking on the thin line of cost and effectiveness of the site. So I guess everyone went through the what they would like to see in the next meetings. Just to continue the discussion topics, I would like to see you focus on the blank walls and what is your plan on treating them. And if possible, kind of a lighting scheme about how it's going and how it's going to connect to the pedestrians or the courtyard or the plaza, but how it's going to be basically active looking and friendly throughout the year and throughout the day, which are different topics. And I believe the rest is covered by my fellow members. And I believe that we can have a motion of some sort about this version, about this option, about this building option.
Shoshana?
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt, but we don't need a motion at the conceptual conference. I think we can just ask the applicant and or Tony just to make sure that there's no questions and they're clear on the direction. And I defer to Tony because what he'll be doing is writing a summary letter and sending it to the applicant.
Yeah, let me just share my screen real quick. I have a kind of, hold on. Apologize here. Should have this Zoom thing figured out by now.
Okay, let me go to so this is our what we typically require the applicant to submit as part of the design response conference. Some of the elements that you guys discussed tonight that you'd like to see are kind of included in this, but I'll kind of just add to what I've heard from the board. And if I missed something or if you want something else added, just let me know. So the first was you wanted to see more development of the terrace and patio, including landscaping and hardscape. Also opportunities to connect those areas to the adjacent right away and how that different opportunities for that. The treatment of the north stair tower and how you can break up the mass of that. I heard from opportunities for a wetland visual connection, whether it be outlook or a look over or a seating area or something like that. As far as this, you want them to look at the screening of the units near the terraces and patios, how that's going to work. Lastly, we want to look at treatment of any blank walls on the building, and also you want to see a lighting plan. Is there anything else that I missed?
Yeah, Tony. We definitely want to know how the ventilation for the garage is going to be treated.
Okay. Yeah. No, thank you. Ventilation plan. Okay. Okay. Is there anything else?
I don't think so.
Okay. Alan or James, you guys have any questions for the board?
So basically, the next step, we are moving on to the design response conference, and you're going to type up a memo basically outlining what you just stated as far as mm-hmm. as the basic direction from the board. Okay, yes. I just wanted to confirm. So
yeah, so basically, in essence, the board has agreed that your latest massing option works to move forward to the design response conference.
And then I guess the timing of that is mm-hmm. there. I mean, a lot of it depends on how quickly we get our act together and provide yeah. the response package. Yeah. But once we submit that to you, what is the expected timing there?
Usually I would say because that then starts the public noticing process. So it's a little longer because we have to first do a more thorough completeness review. I would say it's usually probably about 2 months from the time you submit an application till the time we go to the design response conference. It's just because, again, there's a lot more in-depth review at that phase. So,
understood.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't have any more questions.
Okay.
So am I right to assume that the discussion for tonight is complete?
Yes.
Okay. Great. So do we have a date for our next meeting? Do we need to pull attendance?
So it's looking like our next meeting, we do have one item on the agenda for June 6th. It's the second conceptual conference for the Polaris property, which is by the Fred Meyer. Okay. So we will call around the week before as usual. And I think that's it for me.
Okay. I guess we can adjourn for tonight. Would someone like to make a motion to adjourn?
I move that we adjourn today's meeting.
I'll second it.
Anyone opposed? Okay, so unanimously, we are adjourned for tonight. Thank you so much for your participation and important input, and have a great evening.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you. Have a good night.